Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer, or just Padres writer, and Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Those watching, you know, and who are very observant will notice that I'm now just the Padres writer, not the Padres beat writer. Jay, it's a fine state of affairs the Padres are in. They're 9 games over .500, and it feels like 9 games under .500.
Feels like about 29 games under 500. actually, it feels like the 2016, 17, 18, I don't know, all those years.
It kind of does.
Run together. And we keep saying that, boy, they really can't be this bad. And yet right now they kind of are. So I don't know. As I tweeted before this podcast, just to let people know about it, I was lucky enough to take yesterday off. I checked the score occasionally. But by the time I got home, it was, hey, did you know we have a really nice park in this town? It's kind of cool. There's museums and they're all open during the day and it's really pretty and everything. It's great. Anyway, by the time
I fly over them.
Yeah, that's right. We saw some planes there and everything, but it was, no, seriously, great day. We live in a great city and we thought we had a really good baseball team, but, right now, not so much. By the time I got home, I saw that it was 8-5 with a couple innings to go. And I think in the past, I would have said, okay, I'll put the game on because, you know, it's Coors Field and anything can happen. But just had that sense, like, why even bother? So I did the smart thing and took a nap.
You know what's interesting, Jay, is that we're sitting there, and look, the last 2 days, Coors Field took over. For the last year or so, I don't know how they're cooking the balls in their humidor there. It clearly is unlike any other park, but it's not Coors crazy. But the last couple days, it was just inning after inning, majority of the Rockies. But still, the Padres put up a bunch of threes and twos.
Yeah.
I was in the same spot, except I was actually there, I thought, wow, you got a Padres fans got along for the day of Will Myers here, of Hunter Renfroe, where actually the Rockies were the better team for a couple of years, but like these games were meaningless really, but the Padres had a chance to come back and win that day because they actually used to hit there. So
you always felt that, and the weird thing about this one and the game the other night where it got that was like the first really Coorsy game of the year. I think the Rockies went 3-3-3 in those innings, and to me that was, and we can start anywhere you want, but I guess since I'm talking, I'll start. But I thought the other night the big disappointment was the Padres finally got some hits. They had a 3-run lead with their best pitcher on the mound. He coughed it up. They got him another 3-run lead, and he immediately coughed that up as well. And it's kind of like, wow, that's when you know things are really going bad, when you get Joe Musgrove 2 3-run leads. And I mean, he had a little help on the second one, but he was unable to hold either one of the leads. And that's where you knew they were in big trouble. And, you know, Nabil Chrismat, I mean, I mentioned on here recently that I thought he was the one reliever you could really count on. And now the last couple of days you haven't. And he clearly, from his comments today or after the game, you know, he's clearly tired and probably shouldn't have been pitching yesterday. You can get into that a little bit more. But, I mean, that was the thing that struck me the other day was, wow, they finally got some offense. They got Musgrove these leads. And if he's not going to hold on to them, it's kind of like, boy, what hope is there for the rest of them?
Right. And we can talk about, oh, Coors Field, yada, yada. But, like, because that's all true, except what you're saying is true as well. Because whatever, you have to find a way to hold that lead, or you have to find a way to score more, or you have to find a way to not make dumb decisions or to catch the ball, or and so it is all just happening to them right now. You said it feels like they're, you know, 29 under or whatever, but, you know, pick your starting point. They've lost 14 of 20, I think 13 of 18, 3 in a row, 5 of 6. I mean, you pick whatever.
Yeah, I think it's like 9 and 17 since they swept the Cubs. So, I mean, you look at that. I mean, that's a month, you know, basically 9-7 and you've only won 9 games.
Well, so. 2-8 in that span against the Rockies.
Right. And of the 9-17, I think it's 4-1 against the Diamondbacks.
Who come to town now, by the way.
So it's 5-16 against everybody else. And the Diamondbacks are here this weekend. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a disaster right now. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of help coming from the cavalry. And the one thing about it is it just, and I think one of the things I wanted to mention today, and you know, I've talked for years on here about how much does a manager really, really make a difference. And we were told, and we've talked about it on here, that the difference this year is, hey, Bob Melvin is here, and it's not Andy Green, and it's not Chase Tingler, and this kind of thing is not going to happen. Well, it's happening. And right now, Bob Melvin has been powerless to stop it. And as you and I were texting the other night, it's like, oh, wait, you mean it's actually the players? So, but that comes back to, is this just the wrong group of players right now? And that would all go back to AJ Preller, and we'll see what happens as the season goes on. And yeah, they've had some bad luck and some injuries, but so have other teams. And I don't know. I mean, why is this group of players seemingly, at least at this point, incapable of sort of pulling out of these funks that they get in, and sort of how long will this last? I mean, the one last year went from August 10 until the end of the season. If this one goes to the end of the season, it's really a nightmare, because, you know, we're still on July 15th. So anyway, it just struck me like this was not supposed to happen under Bob Melvin, but it's happening. So what's happening?
And it's what I said. We may have talked about it. We probably did. But before the season, as I, you know, go over what should I watch for this season? Okay, well, if they're not successful this season with Bob Melvin, who's been here? Right? Yeah. There's AJ Preller, of course, but the players, right? Uh-huh. I'm not going there now because, and I know what you meant, but the cavalry is coming. I don't know that the cavalry is going to save them, but the cavalry is coming. Fernando Tatis Jr. Going to start swinging, still could be back probably beginning of August. Will Myers is coming back. They're going to trade for a bat, maybe two. There's guys in the bullpen coming back. This will be a different team. Just like you said, we've been talking about how they can't be this bad. Well, but maybe they are. Right now they are. They are horrible.
Right.
This is not the Padres. Now, I didn't just say there that the Padres will pick it up and you know, win the pennant. They may, but I do believe they're going to be a lot better team in August, as in they'll have better players, and so they should do better. That doesn't excuse what's happening now, but I just refuse. Right. I'm pushing back. First off, my job, I believe, is to write a novel every year, not in a, or a bunch of short stories that at the end you know what happened. Versus, you know, like everyone going nuts yesterday that Fernando Tatis Jr. wasn't swinging. He's swinging today. like if I were a child, if my granddaughter just got in a timeout. And I love timeouts, by the way. There is nothing better than a two-year-old in a timeout. And at the end, she had to repeat after her mom, "I will not scream." I wish I'd videoed it. I would have tweeted it out and said, "We can all learn from this. Who among us cannot use a timeout and say, we will not scream? Let's calm down a little second, okay? Again, hear us. Padres stink." I'm saying that the Padres might not stink in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Right. They might not stink this weekend. They might not stink in a week. I mean, there's just no way to know. I mean, I think you have more faith in the fact they're going to trade for a bat or two, and you have more faith that that's going to help them. You know, I see ghost of Adam Frazier and even Luke Voit. You know, who so far has had a couple good stretches, but you know, he goes through stretches where it's hard to even believe that somebody could like look that bad. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but there are times where he looks like he's just completely lost. And unfortunately for the Padres, he's in one of those times right now. And you know, the fact that he's slugging under 400, his batting average is under 220, you know, that's not the kind of help that they were expecting, and it's certainly not the kind of help they need coming back. Look, the two biggest guys coming back, and I don't mean to, I'm putting them in the same sentence, even though they're not anywhere close to being the same player, are Tatis and Myers. But they need both those guys back. The problem is, we've gotten to July 15th, and we still haven't seen either one of them. Now, Myers at least is rehabbing, and I would assume would be back right after the break. Tatis, you know, yeah, he's going to start swinging today, but we have no guarantee that he's not going to have a setback or anything like that. I mean, his irresponsibility in the wintertime is just, you know, it's beyond words how much it's hurt this team. And we've seen recently how much it's done that. And I I'm sure all his teammates love him and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, he created a real problem for everybody, as did the Padres to an extent by sort of not, you know, I'm not going to get into all that now, but by not following up more and doing more and all that sort of stuff. Fernando Tatis Jr. should not be missing 4 months of a season because of something that happened in the offseason. And look, it starts with him. There's no doubt about that. And that's it's a huge mistake. You'd like to think he would learn from it. I don't know that he will. We'll see. That's the kind of stuff we've had to put up with from Tatis. There's always the, you know, things that sort of happen, and some of it's his fault and some of it's not. This one's his fault, and it's really hurting right now.
This one's his fault. I'm just going to say that I need more time to get the facts, to get the perspective, because I'll guarantee he was not the only guy on a motorcycle. Now, he
is the fact is he shouldn't be riding a motorcycle. Now, whether he's the only one or not.
Amen. 100%. But he's the one who got caught, and he's the one who has to pay the price in the court of public opinion, in the clubhouse. And if that sort of thing were to continue, then, you know, probably have to pay for it in his pocketbook. But yes, as it has stretched past mid-June, end of June, early July, getting toward the end of July, it is like, wow, okay. You know, it does need to be visited. Right now, the story is Fernando Tatis Jr. getting healthy, and what are the Padres going to do? I think those are things that we do have to keep an eye on. Like, you brought in certain players to make sure that this didn't happen, or that when it did, it stopped sooner and it got better, and it hasn't. And you brought a manager in for the same reason. And so, again, though, now perspective isn't going to help you. Just like you don't say, well, that team won, so my team could win. You know, every World Series team almost has spots like this. Every playoff team has spots like this. Maybe not this bad, maybe worse. Doesn't mean the Padres are going to pull out of this, but I just like to remember that. But it doesn't change the fact the Padres are not a good team right now. I mean, there's even stuff like yesterday, and it doesn't get written about. It doesn't get talked about, because in the end, first of all, a run didn't score because of it. But in the end, it didn't matter at all, but it was indicative of what's happening. And it's like, wait a minute, this is one of the guys right here. A throw from Nomar Mazara in the ninth or early in the game from right field bounces. And yeah, it wasn't a great throw. And he was charged with the error, which we don't trust anything the scorer at Coors Field says. But no, precedent said that the error was on Mazara. It wasn't a great throw.
Right.
It was so eminently catchable by Manny Machado. It hit him in the chest. A runner advanced, easily could have then scored on a wild pitch, whatever. It's like, wait a minute, you know? By the way, I didn't see Twitter light up on that one. Now, that said, Manny has a 9-something OPS, and I get why it lights up on the guy at the other corner. But it's like, you know, that was a mental blunder. It was not a physical blunder. Manny sort of lollygagged it because he didn't think the throw would be like that, but it hit him in the freaking chest. And you just spoke up in a meeting the day before in which, you know, you were talking about intensity all the time and consistency of effort. And that's the kind of weird stuff that's happening with this team right now that does need to be kept an eye on over time.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, we talked about, this is what Bob Melvin was brought in for and everything, is that they did have a meeting, which you would, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I mean, who knows what that is.
But the thing that was something we had, you know,
that was something they thought they needed. They thought they needed to discuss things. And the last couple of days, it hasn't had a whole much impact because they're still making. And I obviously, as I said, I didn't see what happened yesterday, but that sounds like what happened the day before and the day before that. And it's like, there's a lot of these sort of sloppy mistakes, and you know, whether it's Hosmer making an error on a simple play, or and those are the kind of things. I mean, I look, those kind of errors happen. I mean, I don't think that Hosmer was like too casual when he was trying to flip the ball. I mean, sometimes you just drop the ball. The thing, like, you know, Grisham dropping the ball in the outfield, but then the next, you know, two innings later, whatever it was, he crashes into the wall to make a great catch. That's the sort of thing. Why are these things happening
over
at various times? And where is the where's the intensity and where is the sort of desire to fix what's going on and to not make those same mistakes, the mental mistakes. Physical mistakes are going to happen, but Trent Grisham dropping a ball like that, that's a mental mistake. Because there's no way that anybody drops a ball like that. And if they're just concentrating in the high school level,
it wasn't the wall, it wasn't any of it, it was simply him on the heel of the glove,
right. And it was just a lack of concentration, and that's the sort of thing that has happened at various times. Look at the base running, guys getting caught off base. I mean, the other night, the two plays with Luke Voigt, who's a veteran and should know better, and Ruiz, and yeah, he's a rookie, he's in his second game or whatever it was, but I don't know, isn't there a stop sign that they put on these guys for
situations? Well, he ran through it. That was on Ruiz. It was
okay, so that's
on your guy.
Yeah, so that's on, so that's something that can't happen. And then C.J. Abrams swinging at the first pitch after a guy was wild, Chacin, I think it was, who just walked thrown four mm-hmm. balls that weren't even close. And yes, Abrams did swing at a strike, but it was a ball that was moving away from him. It was on the outside part of the strike zone. That's not the pitch that you want to be swinging at when the count is 0-0 and he's just thrown four wide ones. So it's all those little things that have happened, and it's kind of like, who's going to fix this?
Okay. All right, let's bring full circle then. Okay. So absolutely, but also then the last two guys you talked about, a guy was playing his second game and another guy is a rookie who we all know for whatever positives we've seen and reasons to be excited about C.J. Abrams, he shouldn't be here. You notice that Jose Azucar has not played recently, that Nomar Mazar has been in against left-handers the last two times. So how about bringing this full circle, which we've already mentioned and we've mentioned so many times. It's the players. There are players playing for them right now that shouldn't be. There are also players playing for them that should be that aren't performing.
But I'll also – go ahead. I was just going to say, I'll also argue that Ruiz and Abrams have played baseball now for a long time. And just because you're in the majors, it's still baseball. And if Ruiz is playing in the Dominican Rookie League or in the World Series, you don't steal third base there. C.J. Okay. Abrams has been playing a long time. I'm just saying, those guys have to be that he has to be smarter than that in that particular situation. And yeah, he's trying to make something happen. Don't make something happen there. That's not the time. You should know by now that's not the time to do that. To me, that's even worse than Abrams thinking, okay, I'm going to get a good pitch to hit here.
Yes.
Because he's going to come in. That's more of a forgivable mistake to me. Ruiz could be playing high school baseball and he shouldn't be running there.
Right. There is an interesting story I heard when I went on the radio with Darren Smith and the guys from Mad Friars had actually been at a game in AA when Ruiz did the same thing and was successful. Now, let me finish, Jay, because I tell them. And it was these incredible quotes from AA manager Philip Wellman about, hey, the game has changed and blah, blah. And it was all like really, really compelling, except this. I wasn't there. I didn't see how poorly the pitcher was holding him on. It's right. Double freaking A. There were a lot of differences. But I just wanted to point out that and by the way, this conversation begins and ends with he ran through a red light. And then it begins and ends with what you said, which is that was just not good baseball. Like no one would ever, like people were looking at themselves like, what did you just do? You should have seen the Padres dugout when it happened. Like no one even reacted. They were stunned, like stunned. You should have seen Bob Melvin when, and I hate to do this to, but it was out there in public. But when Luke Voigt ran from second base to third base with one out because the guy had a bad arm and he's overthinking it too, trying to make something happen, forgetting I'm the slowest guy in baseball. But Bob Melvin took his hat off real quick. It was like, and then put it back on and get regained kind of, all right, I'm the manager. It's all good. We're going to be
right.
The level of dumbness, in those moments is shocking the Padres.
Okay, now here's something that shocks me. The AA manager is excusing a play that should never happen. Maybe that explains why this team can't develop any players.
Yes, I didn't. You know, Phil Bowman's a good baseball man.
And he's been along. He's been around forever, and he's. I always say, as you do as well, these guys have forgotten more about this game than we're ever going to know. But are you really telling your guy you're supposed to be getting these guys ready for the big leagues, and you're telling your guy that's okay to be doing that? You should.
What was left out of the story? I wasn't there. What did he say to Ruiz on the side of, hey, man, be careful? I have no idea. I just wanted to say, like, there. I love that there are nuances and different things that happen. Look, none of the last 2 minutes changes what you said, Jay. It wasn't good.
Well, no. Right. That one just kind of floors me, like, that I'm hearing that the guy's saying. Now, maybe, like you said, maybe on the side he said, hey, look, you can't be doing that. But even, I don't know, even publicly, I don't see the benefit in saying that's okay. Because I know
that, of course, the game has changed. Maybe there was more, context.
Yeah, the game has changed. And look, I mean, I'm older than average, although for a baseball fan, I'm probably younger than average. But I feel like I have really changed my view of baseball and really adapted to the times a lot better than a lot of people in our business have. But that one I can't get.
All right, so let me get this. Let me say this again. This is the beauty of baseball, though.
Yeah.
Not arguing with you. The play that we lauded Manny Machado for, where he went on a wild pitch, and he went to third in the ninth inning. It was against the Rockies. It was the last game they won against the Rockies in that one series. He shouldn't have gone. A good throw, he's out. But I'm we wanted sure. him because it's a team struggling to score runs in a ballpark that's not yielding a lot of runs. And Manny knows the situation. And it's like, you know what? Here I am with two outs, and I'm going to try to make it happen. There is a difference between the two situations. But there are things that happen in games that when a team wins, we don't maybe get on them about. What Philip Wellman was talking about is there are a lot of wild pitches now. Well, yeah, there are. There are more in the major leagues. And I'm sure there's a heck of a lot more in AA, right? Yeah, so exactly. Context there. I absolutely. All right.
Okay.
The Diamondbacks, Jay. This is unfreaking believable.
Hey, Merrill Kelly's pitching again, I noticed.
Madison Bumgarner for the fourth time.
And Madison Bumgarner and Merrill Kelly pitching the first two games, I believe.
Well, Kelly's number three is what I got. Darvish, Bumgarner.
Tyler Gilbert.
Yep. Tyler Gilbert
on Saturday.
The most incredible no-hitter you'll ever see.
Since Bud Smith.
Sean Manaea against Gilbert, Mike Clevenger against Merrill Kelly on Sunday, and then the All-Star break. The All-Star break for some people, not for Joe Musgrove and Manny Machado.
Or Kevin Acey.
Right, or Kevin Acey. That is true. But there you go. Diamondbacks. What else is there to say? The Padres go from the place they play as poorly to the team they beat like no other at Petco Park. So that's supposedly good for them.
Supposedly good. And they have the pitching. Let's see what happens. I mean, Darvish has been good for almost the entire season. Manaea has been up and down. Clevenger has had his moments where he looks dominant, and then every once in a while it just seems to go off the rails for him. I don't want to say it's Snellian, but it's a little bit like that. I would never want to put that on anybody. But they need consistent performances from all three of those guys this weekend, and to try to make themselves. I'm not going to say they're going to have momentum going into the quote unquote second half or whatever it is, but at least feel better about themselves
going
into the break. And look, they're going to come out of the break and they're probably going to see DeGrom and Scherzer. And I don't even know, who else, Tom Seaver maybe for the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets will get Seaver.
Yeah, or something. But so whatever happens, with quote momentum that they get, not buying into any of that.
How about this? Just not lose more games.
Right.
Get some more games back in the standings.
Just feel better about yourselves. Maybe pick up a game or two in the standings. I mean, the Giants, the Diamondbacks coughed one up against the Giants the other day, but the Giants then lost last night. The Phillies and Cardinals haven't been playing all that great. Those are the teams to worry about, at this at this point.
Not the Dodgers.
But of course, the biggest team to worry about is the one we watch, you know, almost every day.
So one thing,
they need to get their own house in order here.
One thing, Jay, before we go, because you mentioned it earlier, and I do, it's the thing I hear about most. We've reached that point. People were leaving Bob Melvin alone for a while. Choice of when to pull his starters, what relievers to use. This thing's a mess right now. I get it. I was wondering too. You sending Joe back out there in the sixth inning after a long inning, the inning before, and right away I know they don't have who you're trusting Joe Musgrove in this moment. Okay,
I have no problem
that night. The next day, Bob Melvin did talk about how at Coors Field, you do have to watch that more. That a long inning, right, whatever it was, 28 pitches, feels like 40, right, at Coors Field. That night, you go out. Was it Manaea? I believe it – no, it was the night before. Oh, it was Musgrove. I mixed them around. Manaea you sent back out, I think. And he gave up some runs or some hits that then were allowed to score. And it's like, why didn't he pull Sean Manaea earlier? We all knew that he was tired. Who are you bringing in? That's right. The thing. Yesterday, I watched this happen out in the bullpen. I'm like, how are they going to get through this game now that things aren't going well for Snell? And Nick Martinez is out there looking like he's getting ready to start throwing. I'm like, oh, okay. So they're just going to try to patch this together until they can get to Nick Martinez for a couple innings and then Taylor Rogers. Nope. Nick Martinez was testing his ankle. It was a no-go. So – you are now down to using three guys that you had to use the night before. It's a day game. Like 16, 18 hours later, you're using Nabil Chrismat again. You're using, oh my gosh, Taylor Scott again. And you're using Tim Hill again, ultimately at the end after Luis Garcia. Yeah. Those were basically the guys that were available. Four relievers were available. I don't think it's going to get better today because I don't think that Stephen Wilson's had enough time. Jose Castillo just pitched last night. They're going to have to patch it together again. Have you, Darvish, do one of those where no matter what it looks like in the first or the second or the third, that there he is again in the sixth and, you know, try to get it to Taylor Rogers. And
what I was going to say about that is they need, obviously, Darvish to have a big game.
Yes.
Yesterday, they needed the guy that they traded like four guys for who had won a Cy Young Award. And that's why you traded for guys like that, so they could come up big in a moment where you really needed them. And, you know, Blake Snell has only come up big for like seven starts since he's been here.
While the rest of the team was cratering.
Feels like that. He had a stretch of seven starts. I shouldn't say he's only had seven good starts because that's not true.
He's had a couple this year, but
yeah, you could really only count. It feels like you could really only count on him in that stretch at the end of last year before he got hurt. So that's another case where, you know, you traded for Clevinger, you traded for Snell, and you traded for Musgrove, you traded for Darvish, you traded for Manaea, you traded for your entire rotation. You gave up a lot of stuff, a lot of players, a lot of capital for those guys. And some of them haven't performed as well as they should, which comes back to what you had said at the very beginning, which is that, you know, most of this it always comes back to the players. And those guys, for the most part, and look, Musgrove's been great. Darvish has been great. I don't think you can find fault. Joe Musgrove finally has a start where he doesn't go six innings. Pretty good to go till July without having that happen. But, you know, yesterday would have been a really good time for Blake Snell to come up and pitch even six innings.
Hey,
you know,
even six
innings. Is that asking too much?
You know?
Yeah. So, anyway.
That was rough.
The dreaded 30-minute tone has just arrived right there. So we'll wish everyone a good weekend and a good All-Star break. And I guess, Kevin, we won't do this again until a week from today. And you will be in New York, correct?
New York, Queens. So, you know, just to be specific. Thanks, everybody.